I invite you to join together in praying the prayer of the day as printed in your bulletin. Let us pray. O God, you show forth your almighty power, chiefly by reaching out to us in mercy. Grant us the fullness of your grace, strengthen and trust in your promises, and bring all the world to share in the treasures that come through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. You may be seated.
Good morning. This is the surprise that wasn't in the bulletin. This is the first reading. From 1 Kings, verse 17, 18 through 16. Now the word of the Lord came to Elijah, saying, Go now to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and live there, for I have commanded a widow there to feed you. So he set out and went to Zarephath. When he came to the gate of the town, a widow was there gathering sticks. He called to her and said, Bring me a little water in a vessel so that I may drink. As she was going to bring it, he called to her and said, Bring me a morsel of bread in your hand. But she said, As the Lord your God lives, I have nothing baked, only a handful of meal in a jar and a little oil in a jug. I am now gathering a couple of sticks so that I may go home and prepare it for myself and my son, so that we may eat it and die. Elijah said to her, Do not be afraid. Go and do as you have said, but first make me a little cake of it and bring it to me, and afterwards make something for yourself and your son. For thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, the jar of meal will not be emptied, and the jug of oil will not fail, until the day that the Lord sends rain on the earth. She went and did as Elijah said, so that she, as well as he and her household, ate for many days. The jar of meal was not emptied, neither did the jug of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord that he spoke by Elijah. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
And now, if you'll pull out your insert, we will responsively read Psalm 146. It's on the inside. And I will read the light print, and you can respond with the dark. Psalm 146. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul.
I will praise the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God all my life long.
Do not put your trust in princes, in mortals, in whom there is no help.
When their breath departs, they return to the earth. On that very day, their plans perish.
Happy are those whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord their God.
Who made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, who keeps faith forever.
Who executes justice to the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets the prisoners free.
The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous.
The Lord watches over strangers. He upholds the orphan and the widow, but the way of the wicked he brings to ruin. And now the second reading today is brought to us from the book of Hebrews, chapter 9, verses 24 through 28. Christ did not enter a sanctuary made by human hands, a mere copy of the true one, but he'd entered into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God on our behalf. Nor was it to offer himself again and again, as the high priest enters the holy place year after year with blood that is not his own. For then he would have to suffer again and again since the foundation of the world. But as it is, he has appeared once for all at the end of the age to remove sin by the sacrifice of himself. And just as it is appointed for mortals to die once, and after that the judgment, so Christ, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time, not to deal with sin, but to save those who are eagerly waiting for him. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Alleluia, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Alleluia. The Gospel according to St. Mark, beginning with chapter 12, verse 38. As Jesus taught, he said, "Beware of the scribes who like to walk around in long robes and to be greeted with respect in the marketplaces, and to have the best seats in the synagogues and places of honor at banquets. They devour widows' houses, and for the sake of appearance say long prayers. They will receive the greater condemnation." He sat down opposite the treasury and watched the crowd put money into the treasury. Many rich people put in large sums. A poor widow came and put in two small copper coins, which are worth a penny. Then he called his disciples and said to them, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the treasury. For all of them have contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had, all that she had to live on." The Gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. Invite any children to come forward at this time for children's message. Going to have you stand today, anywhere up in here. Hi, Adeline. Great. So I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to slide this right over about here. Got kind of a line here. And I think who's ever inside the circle, inside the line, can go ahead and take a cookie. You want a cookie? Sorry, guys. We'll help you out. There you go. That's not nice?
No.
It's not fair?
The Lord would give us all a cookie.
That's a good way to look at it. That would make it fair if everybody got a cookie and not just some people? Just not Laura? Okay. Well, does God love some people more than others, you think? Does he like people on the inside more than people on the outside? That's mean. Well, no, just bear with me for a minute. That God loves us all the same, whether we're inside the circle or outside the circle. And in our psalm lesson that was just read a few minutes ago, it talks about how God takes care of all people, those that are hungry, those that are oppressed, those that are downtrodden. And in the bulletin last week, or a couple weeks ago, we collected some food for the Salvation Army food pantry. They were collecting soup. And this week, there's something else in the bulletin that they're looking for. Did you read what that was? I think somebody out there could tell us what it's in the bulletin for what they're looking for at the food pantry. They're looking for canned pasta products this week. Because there are some people that may not have enough to eat, right? And there may be some people that don't have warm enough coats to wear this time of year. I heard on the radio that the Salvation Army was giving out coats to any youth or any child that needed a warmer coat to wear. When you came up this morning, you didn't know where to stand in terms of being able to get a cookie, right? You didn't know whether I was going to say people on the inside of the circle or outside of the circle. And they're playing it safe. Yeah, one foot in, one foot out. That's a good way of looking at it. So God is asking, when in the psalm, it asks that God is going to take care of the poor, the oppressed, the hungry, the widow, the orphan. How is God going to do that, do you think? What are some ways that God might do that? Okay, someone's going to come, maybe ask for food. God is going to use our hands to help care for those people that need things. And I like to think of is how is God going to act and how is God going to work in the world? And I think God is always the one who's going to try to pull the rope out from underneath us, in a sense, pull the string out, and now who's going to receive the cookie? Who's going to receive God's grace, God's love? Everybody, me and you and everyone else. Some ways, I kind of think of God as this cosmic eraser. That God is the one who's erasing the lines that we put up to divide us between those that have and those that don't have, between the rich, the poor, male and female, whatever it might be. Whatever those divisions are, God is trying to break those down in Jesus. Will you pray with me? Dear Jesus, thank you for caring for everyone. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Have a cookie. The shape. Oh, we can all have one. Do you need another one? You're good? Okay. I'd like the congregation to join together in singing with hymn number 776 in the blue hymnal with one voice. 776.
Thanks for coming up. Do you need another cookie?
Be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. Not be all else to me, save that thou art. Thou my best thought by day and by night. Waking or sleeping, thy presence my light. Be thou my wisdom and thou my true word. I ever with thee and thou with me, Lord. Thou my soul shelter, thou my high tower. Raise thou me heavenward, O power of my power. Riches I heed not, nor vain empty praise. Thou mine inheritance, now and always. Thou and thou only first in my heart. Great God of heaven, my treasure thou art. Light of my soul after victory won, may I reach heaven's joys, O heaven's song. Heart of my own, whatever befall, still be my vision, O ruler of all.
You may be seated. Grace and peace be to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. If I would have been Elijah, I would have been scared. There were few kings who ruled ancient Israel worse than King Ahab and his pagan wife, Jezebel. Just before today's Old Testament lesson begins, we read, Ahab did more to provoke the anger of the Lord, the God of Israel, than had all the kings of Israel who were before him. So God sent his prophet Elijah to speak a word of challenge to this king gone bad. Elijah told King Ahab that he was going to be punished by a great drought over his land. After making this announcement, fearing for his life, Elijah fled toward Jordan, where ravens brought him meat and bread, and he could drink water from a ravine that had been filled from the rains. However, soon the water ran dry, and God sent Elijah to Zarephath, in search of a widow to ask her for food. He found her, but the news wasn't good. She and her son were starving. The text says, I'm now gathering a couple of sticks that I may go home and prepare food for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die. She had run out of food. She had run out of hope. The text continues with Elijah's bold reply, Do not be afraid. Go and do as you have said. But first make me a little cake of it and bring it to me, and afterwards something for yourself and your son. Elijah asks her to put away her fear for what is apparently the last meal for her and her son, and instead to feed him first. The request makes me uncomfortable, and it's an extraordinary request. The desperate widow in Zarephath had every reason to deny Elijah's request. She had every reason to claim that the resources were scarce, that there was not enough for her and her son, not to mention for someone else. Her response is even more surprising. She actually did it. She made a cake and brought it to him. And what happened? The jars of meal and the jar of oil never ran empty, and the household ate for many days. Elijah said to her, "Do not be afraid." That is the word delivered by Jesus after the resurrection when he appeared to the disciples in the upper room. It's also the same word that the angel spoke to the women at the empty tomb. In the midst of running out of food, for her son and for her, Elijah says, "Do not be afraid." Maybe I'm alone in this, but that's a word that I need to hear. Do not be afraid. Some of us are glad to have this past week behind us, done with the constant drone of political ads on TV, ready to be able to hear about something else on the news, ready to be able to open your mailbox and there's room for something else besides flyers telling you who and what to vote for. Don't get me wrong, I'm very, very thankful to live in the United States in a democracy. And I'm glad that I'm able to vote and that my vote counts. I'm also very thankful for the people who are willing to run for public office and to serve. It can't be easy. I read over the scriptures text for today before I pulled the curtain in my little cubicle in the community center to mark my ballot. The phrase, "Do not be afraid," was not completely out of my mind. Nor was the admonition of today's psalm, particularly verse 3. "Do not put your trust in princes, in mortals, in whom there is no help. When their breath departs, they return to the earth. On that very day, their plans perish." What struck me on Tuesday was the psalm's recognition of human limitation, of earthly rulers, and the limitless power of God. The psalmist doesn't make any quantitative judgments about earthly rulers being good or bad or honest or dishonest. The psalmist simply says, "Do not put your trust in princes, in mortals, in whom there is no help." So the question then becomes, in whom do you trust? I wonder, sometimes actually I worry, if the encouragement, "Do not be afraid," sounds empty, fictional, unrealistic. "Do not be afraid" is not a message that we hear much on TV or the radio. I wonder what enabled the widow at Zarephath to believe the words, "Do not be afraid," to the point that she would make food for Elijah to eat before her and her son. I wonder if it comes back to, who do you place your trust in? The psalmist makes the case to trust in the limitless power of God. Beginning with verse 5, the psalm reads, "Happy are those whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord their God, who made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, who keeps faith forever, who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets the prisoner free. The Lord opens the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the strangers, the orphan, and the widow." It sounds like a good place to put your trust. Something enabled the widow to act out of a sense of hope, a belief like the psalmist, that the God who made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, who keeps faith forever, who gives food to the hungry, who sets the prisoner free, who opens the eyes of the blind, who lifts up those bowed down, will take care of her, her son, and Elijah, who comes along asking for a free meal. Perhaps she acted out of a sense of hope because God noticed her. After all, God sent Elijah to this widow. She had a role to play in this story, in God's story. She must have believed that God would take care of her, and God did. The jar of meal was never empty. The jug of oil didn't run out, and the household ate for many days. The widow in today's gospel also had a role to play in God's continuing story. She was incredibly generous, putting her 2 coins, all that she had, into the treasury. How could she be that generous? None of us can give that to the church or to anyone or anything for that matter and still take care of ourselves, our families. She must have trusted that God would provide for her. It is a difficult passage, I think, because most of us have been raised to be careful, to live within our means, maintain control of your life, your finances. We don't know the whole story of the widow who gave all that she had. There's no mention of Jesus judging how she got in the financial situation that she was in. There's no mention of her lack of retirement planning savvy. Somehow, the widow chooses to sacrifice all that she has over her own survival. It's hard to understand. Yet somehow we believe the widow got it right. She gives her whole life to God. What about us? Is the meaning of the widow giving everything she had simple encouragement that we ought to be more generous in giving to world hunger or the church? Or more extreme even, that we're to give away everything that we own? Perhaps, but I'm not convinced that is the meaning. I'm not sure that's being faithful to the text. The widow gave everything she had. Literally translated from the Greek, she gave her whole life. I wonder why. The text doesn't exactly say. Perhaps she was taking care of the stranger according to Jewish tradition and then trusting that the community would take care of her. Perhaps after the scribes having devoured her house, her livelihood, she was simply ready to give up, and that's why she gave away all that she had. Perhaps the thing we're to remember about today's story is that Jesus noticed the woman. She was just one person in the crowd, but Jesus' attention is given to her, even fixed upon this woman. Perhaps the meaning for us today is that we're called to notice those who have been taken advantage of, to notice those who are forgotten, to notice those who are ignored, to notice those who are in need in any way, food or clothing, a place to call home, or even a country to call home. Thankfully, God has noticed us, and God has noticed you. At times we may feel unworthy of God's attention, yet God deems us worthy, worthy enough to send God's only Son so that our eyes would be opened to notice others. The widow in Zarephath had every reason to deny Elijah's request. The widow in the synagogue had every reason not to put in her last coins. They both had every reason to claim that resources were scarce. There was not even enough for them. There certainly wasn't enough to share. But in some sense, they both had been noticed by God, and nothing would ever be the same again. Nothing would ever be the same for a couple brothers whose eyes were opened to truly notice each other. It's not my story, but let me tell you. There once were two brothers who shared a field and a grain mill, or perhaps it was a tender that they worked on. Each night they evenly divided the grain, or was it the fish that they had processed that day? One brother lived alone. The other had a wife and a large family. Now the single brother thought to himself one day, "Is it really fair that we should divide the grain evenly? I have only myself to care for, but my brother has children to feed." So each night he secretly took some of his grain to his brother's granary to see that it was never empty and without. But the married brother said to himself, "Is it really fair that we should divide the grain evenly? Because I have children to care for me in my old age, but my brother has no one. What will he do when he is old?" So every night, he secretly took some of his grain to his brother's granary. As a result, both of them always found their supply of grain mysteriously replenished. Then one night, they met each other halfway between their homes, each carrying a sack of grain, suddenly realized what had happened and embraced each other. I believe that's what starts to happen when you notice others. It begins to happen when we're captured by the love of Jesus, who on the cross gave everything he had, his whole life, so that we might begin to see the world through those eyes. Eyes that notice those on the margin. Eyes that notice the limits of our jars of meal or jugs of oil or coins to notice the needs of our neighbor. As we're conformed into the people that God is calling us to be, we begin to see not just the limits of our resources, but also the possibilities. The words of Elijah, "Do not be afraid," begin to take root in our lives, because with God there is always enough. Thanks be to God. Amen. Our hymn of the day is number 581 in your red hymnal, "You Are Mine," in the ELW 581. I invite you to rise as you're able.
I will come. to you in the silence. I will lift you from all your fear. You will hear my voice. I claim you as my choice. Be still and know I am here. I am hope for all who are hopeless. I am eyes for all who long to see. In the shadows of the night,